Blog Talk Radio.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
No matter hell or heaven, I'll be there by your side.
Jesus never leaves us alone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. But his love does, his grace flows, heart change, and love grows. Listen now, no matter the weather, no storm lasts forever. But his love does, his grace flows, heart change, and love grows. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and you're about to do, about to do. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and you're about to do. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Christ.
Well, hello and praise the Lord. This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with Pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Charlie, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Great, great. That song right there was a song by a brother in Christ who does this. He wants to do this as a ministry. His name is James Cross. He is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did that cut of music for our radio show, Charlie.
Yeah, I heard that earlier today.
Yeah, so it's for those of you who don't know us, maybe you haven't seen us, Charlie's been around for a long, long, long time. He likes the Slim Whitman 1920s era type music, and I'm from the 70s and 80s, so you know me, I like something with a little bit of beat. James is a little bit younger than we are, and he's into the stuff that maybe the younger people like, but we want to thank him for that. We will use that periodically on the show, and we're just trying to give him a boost so that he can get a going for Jesus. Promoting the gospel to everybody else out there. So again, James, I want to call you out and say thank you so much. We appreciate that and we love you. All right, now, Charlie, we're going to talk about you must be born again. Is there any other way to heaven, Charlie?
No.
How can, if you had to tell a person how he or she could get into heaven? What's the, how many ways is there to get to heaven?
Only one, through Christ.
Could you explain that one? Jesus Christ, amen, amen. So we're going to talk about Jesus talking to Nicodemus. We're going to be in John chapter 3. I don't know how far we'll get. I want to touch on a couple of subjects. Charlie and I are going to be reading out of the 1599 Geneva Bible. It's even a little older than the King James, and I like studying out of this Bible, Charlie. I don't know about you.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I think you're the one that got me into this Bible a couple years ago. And you know me, I had to run right out and buy one. So, all right. So I'm going to ask if Brother Charlie will read the first three verses in John chapter 3.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God were with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Well, we've got a lot right there, Charlie, that we could talk about. And I've learned through the blessings of working with Charlie that I tend to go back and I'll research a little bit more of the history now when I do something, because it just gives me a better understanding of certain things. So verse 1 says, "And now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." I went and looked up and saw what they say today a Pharisee was, and what I came up with is a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law and commonly held to pretensions to superior sanctity. Well, let me put that in English terms, and Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong. A Pharisee basically was somebody who was they were part of the Jewish sect, who thought they were really something in the church world. Is that correct?
Yes, they felt they were better than everybody else. They really had, well, as you read through the scriptures, you find that Jesus himself had some pretty rough things to say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they thought they were the superior one. In other words, they were the elite. They were the ones that knew it all. And they were above everybody else, and they made sure that everybody knew it.
Sounds like a group here today.
Oh, yeah.
So we know that Nicodemus, now, he's a ruler of the Jews. I knew that the Pharisees were high up in the synagogues and according to the law in the Old Testament. I never really realized before, I guess, that he was a ruler of the Jews. So he had some kind of tout or control over people, did he not?
Yeah.
And he was
he was a ruler, but he saw something that maybe the others did not see. And he perceived it. And that's why he went. And it's interesting, he went by night. He didn't want to be seen communicating with Jesus.
Isn't that funny? Here's a man who is a ruler of the Jews. He's big into the synagogue. He knows the Old Testament scriptures. He follows the law, I'm sure, to a T. They think that they're better than everybody else. And like you said, he comes to Jesus at night because he doesn't want the others to see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's got some questions here, Charlie, to ask Jesus?
Well, I also think, too, that probably when he says he came by night, the night speaks of a darkness. And there was a darkness in the soul of Nicodemus. He was looking for something, and he saw something in Jesus that he wanted to check out.
Amen. That's good. That's good. All right. So now we go over to verse 3, and it said, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily." You know, I looked up this scripture. I went to the original Greek in the New Testament, and I was reading it. And it's funny because you read the Greek New Testament, and sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense compared to our English. But that word, verily, verily, I kept reading in John chapter 3 was amen and amen.
Uh-huh.
So that's the original Greek was amen and amen. That's what Jesus was saying. But he says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let's talk about that verse 3 here. What's the born again that he's talking about here, Charlie? Can you, if you had to explain it to somebody who's like Nicodemus and didn't know?
The only way that I've ever been able to explain it to people, I don't necessarily go along with this thing called a sinner's prayer. I'll take them to the scripture. In Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and out of the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, there must be an inward work by the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and an understanding that Christ was raised from the dead. And if we can accept that, and then confess that and repent of our sinful ways, turn to the Lord and admit that we are sinner, then the Bible teaches us that we can be saved or born again.
Amen. Amen. So that word born again means that we were born on this earth already. We know because of the fall of Adam and Eve, that we're born into sin now because of that. We explained that on Sunday when we were preaching about sin. And so now we have to be born again, or we have to, there has to be a change in our lives. There has to be a renewing. Are you ready for this? There has to be a regeneration. And
yes.
I want to do a biblical definition of regeneration. It's a spiritual transformation in a person brought about by the Holy Spirit that brings the individual from being spiritually dead to becoming a spiritually alive human being. Regeneration is another way of speaking about the new birth or the second birth or being born again. So there has to be a regeneration in one's life. Would you agree?
The spirit of a person is kind of, for lack of better understanding, we live in a body, we have a soul, but we are a spirit. And that spirit is just not alive to the understanding and knowledge of who God is until we are born again. And then that spirit comes alive. In other words, we go from a non-consciousness of who God is to a God consciousness of who God is and who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is. It becomes a vibrant and alive. So when that occurs, then we know that we're born again.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. I agree with you 100%. Hey, let's read verse 4 and we'll read verse 5.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born which is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
All right, now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Charlie, we got a caller. I'm going to take him real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Hello and praise the Lord. This is Pastor Dean. How are we doing
tonight? Hi, Pastor Dean. It's Sophia.
Hey.
I had to get in on this because this is what I was all, you know how Jesus says, Nicodemus, he didn't understand. What do you mean born again? I have to go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. What I think is that being salvation is for humanity. So being born of the water, I believe, is a fleshly birth, the amniotic sac, the amniotic fluid. So in order to be able to grasp salvation, you have to be human. You have to be born of the water, but then you have to be born of the Spirit.
Amen. You know, for those of you listening, this is Mrs. Pastor Charlie Sims' beautiful wife, Sophia. What a blessing to have her call in on the show. You totally caught me off guard. But boy, thank you so much for calling in. And you want to know what's so amazing right now is you can tell it's definitely of God and it's the Holy Ghost, because guess what I was going to talk about next, Sophia?
Being born of the water and the Spirit?
Amen. That's exactly what we were just going to talk about. And you hit it right on the head. You hit it perfectly.
Oh, okay, because I just felt an unction to call in and say that.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Do you want to stay on and talk with us on the show, or do you?
No, I'll hang up now and continue to listen.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Charlie, how was that? Did you expect that, Charlie?
No, I did not.
No. Well, praise God. She was right on the money. All right, so what I was going to talk about here is Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so now we're going to talk about a couple of different views. Charlie, how many times have you heard or witnessed or seen people talking about, you know what? You have to be baptized in water. How many times have you heard churches, ministries, people say that water, being born of the water, is water baptism?
I've heard it a lot. And that is another view of this, is that it's water baptism and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is another view of this. But I've heard it a lot.
All right, well, here's what they got. There's a couple of different views. I've come up with three through research that I know of, and by all means, please give more of it. Here's one of them. Being born of the Spirit is easily interpreted. Salvation involves a new life that is only the Holy Spirit can produce. And that's in 2 Corinthians 3:6. But there are a couple of different schools of thought on what Jesus meant when he said born of water. One perspective is that born of water refers to a physical birth. Unborn babies float in a sack of amniotic fluid for 9 months. When the time of birth arrives, that sack of water bursts and the baby is born in a rush of water, entering the world as a new creature. This birth parallels being born of the Spirit, as a similar new birth occurs within our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:17. A person once born has physical life. A person twice born has eternal life. That's in John 3:15-18, 36:17-3, and 1 Peter 23:1-23. Just as the baby contributes no effort to the birth process, the work is done by the mother, so is it with the spiritual birth. We are merely the recipients of God's grace as he gives us a new birth through his Spirit. And that's in Ephesians 2:8-9. Now, here it says here, Nicodemus did not understand spiritual birth, but he could understand physical birth, so that's where Jesus took him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's one possibility. Now, do you and I know everything, Charlie?
No.
We're a work in progress for those of you out there.
Oh, you're kidding.
You're learning day by day, thank Jesus. Now, the other perspective is that born of water refers to a spiritual cleansing, and that Nicodemus would have naturally understood it that way. According to this view, born of water and born of the Spirit are different ways of saying the same thing, once metaphorically and once literally. Jesus' words, born of water and of the Spirit, describe different aspects of the same spiritual birth, or what it's meant to be born again. So when Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born of water, he was referring to his need for spiritual cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicodemus was a teacher of law who surely would have been familiar with the concept of physical water representing spiritual purification.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one more. The New Testament, too, uses water as a figure of the new birth. Regeneration is called a washing brought about by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God at the moment of salvation, Titus 3:5, Ephesians 5:26, John 13:10. Christians are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, 1 Corinthians 6:11. The washing Paul speaks of here is a spiritual washing.
It's a washing of the water by the Word.
There you go. Amen. And whichever perspective is correct, one thing is certain. Born of water is not a reference to water baptism.
No. No.
So we had to clarify that. I wanted to give a couple of points, but we had to clarify this is not water baptism that's being talked about here.
There was a ritual that the Jewish people did where they would literally go in and do a ritual cleansing with the water. They would cleanse themselves with the water. And it was the same type of thing in the tabernacle in the wilderness, where they would go to the laver and they would wash. They would cleanse themselves before they went further.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So this water baptism that these people do, they have to research the word a little bit more. We gave you the scriptures. Go back and listen to them again and study them. Don't take my word. Don't take Charlie's word. Get into the scriptures. What's that thing you always say, Charlie? You tell Bible students to what?
What, the text, the context, the greater context.
That's right. That's right. So those are what we want you to do, is dig into that, research it, and then allow the Holy Ghost to show you. Well, Charlie, time flies, boy, when you're having fun. We've got 10 minutes left. So could you read verse 7, please?
Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again.
All right. And so if you could read verse 13 now.
For no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
So what is he talking about right here? We must be born again. And what he's talking about in 13, and if we read more, and because of time, you'll have to finish this, a lot of this at home. But Jesus, no man can bring us to God. No man can save us. We can't be born again through any man, through any works, through any deeds. Is that true, sir?
That's right.
Only way we can do is we must be born again. How? You said it earlier, through faith.
That's
and
right.
Believing in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Boy, it's so hard here. We're going off. We got about 8 minutes left, Charlie. So, boy, cutting the show down to 30 minutes, we're getting longer. People are completing the listening, but we sure are cutting out a lot of information. And So, but anyways, if we go back to scripture, the main points we wanted to touch on is that just like Sister Sophia was talking about, you know, that it's born, you're born in through water birth or that cleansing. It's not a baptism, water baptism. Now, is it okay to go out and get baptized in water?
Yes.
Jesus did it, right?
Yes, he did. He was baptized in the River Jordan. And the scriptures teach us, too, that to be water baptized is to identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's an act of a good conscience toward God in believing him that through water baptism, we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Amen. Now, I was water baptized when I think I was 14 at the time. And but this doctrine that's taught that, you know, you have to get somebody water baptized. If they die before they're baptized in water, they're not going to go to heaven. That's not what the Word of God says.
No.
That's not true. That's not true. So any closing thoughts or anything you want to add to this, Charlie?
Well, if we go on to in verse 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world that he should condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And that is the essence of our preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we may reach a lost, perverse, and crooked generation. We can only influence the generation that we're in. We can't influence future generations, but we can influence those with the message that you must be born again. And this day and age, when you preach, you must be born again, and define what being born again is. Sad to say, a lot of preachers will throw rocks at you because they don't like the message of you must repent of sin, you must turn away from your sin, and you must receive Christ as your Savior, and you must repent and turn away from your wicked ways. They don't want to hear that, but that's the good news, because when we do, we can inherit from the Lord. He's given unto us eternal life, life abundantly here now, and eternal life to come.
Amen. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That is good preaching. Amen. Well, well, I'm still smiling ear to ear that Sister Sophia called in on the show. That made my night. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. We have a little change that we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. I talked to you a little bit about this last night, Charlie, but we have a special guest next Tuesday, James Cross. We have a special guest next Thursday, Brother Barnabas from Nepal is going to be on the radio show telling us what's going on over in Nepal. June 6th, which is the Tuesday after next Tuesday, we have a special guest teacher from, I believe it's Tennessee or Indiana. I'm not sure which one, but it's Sister Missy Kretzler. And Thursday, June 8th, we have a special guest on the show, Sister Lori Ann Morton, who's going to give us a testimony on her issues with cancer that she had gone through and stuff. So the next 2 weeks, we've got quite a few guests coming on, Charlie, and it'd be kind of exciting to see what's going on, you know, around the different parts of the world. And so we hope people...
That will be excellent.
Yeah, we hope people will tune in, and we'll see what's going on, and we'll have some good testimonies, different walks of life, and just some interesting stuff going on. Any ideas what we're going to be at Bible study tomorrow night, Charlie?
Yes, there is. And the subject that the Lord has been dealing with me about is a subject that we've all faced, one that we've all had to deal with. It's to one degree or another, we continue to deal with it. And I felt such a stirring in my spirit because of several things, okay? People I work with, people I've talked to, so forth and so on. There's a real thing, and I saw it on Facebook, and I was looking at it through the news, and it has to do with worry and anxiety. And we're going to look at it from a we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective. What it is, we're going to try to define it, and we're going to try to give a biblical perspective on it, and we're going to give some a good many scriptures trying to understand what the Lord is trying to tell us in these things, so that we can, by His mercy and grace through His shed blood, that we can deal with these things, that we can learn to trust Him more and more and more, and that the worries and anxieties that we have will begin to diminish in our lives, that we can know absolutely for certainty that regardless of what goes on in the world around us, of what goes on in situations and circumstances, we can trust the Lord. Probably interspersed with that, I'm going to give a little bit of personal testimony of some of the things in my own life that I went through where the Lord taught me to trust Him when I literally had nothing. I mean, zero, nada, zilch, nothing.
Well, that'll be some good... I'm sorry,
that was the place where the Lord taught me, and in those places where it was extremely hard, extremely difficult, because I had a thing in me that I wanted to control everything. I absolutely had to control it, but I had to let go and trust Him in spite of everything. And over a period of time, I began to trust Him more and more and more, to where now today I don't get near as anxious as I used to, say, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because I've walked with Him day by day, and I've learned to trust Him in these situations and circumstances, and sometimes just keep my hands off of it, keep my mouth shut.
Well, amen. You know what's amazing? It's funny, you're going to be talking on anxiety and worry tomorrow, and I was praying today, and as I was praying today, I was asking the Lord while I was driving around at work, and I asked, all right, Lord, what is it that I'm going to do for a message today? And you ready for this? The joy of the Lord. So we're going to go from worry and anxiety to the joy of the Lord on Sunday, so that's kind of funny. That's like a complete circle right there. So,
well, that's the other side of it.
Yeah, so that worked out perfectly. And I had no clue what you were going to do until you just talked about it right now. So God's amazing. Hey, and don't miss us on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. We'll be working. Brother Charlie will be putting together a topic for us. And Friday, the Hour of Power, we're going to continue on deliverance from demons. And we're going to get into some deep stuff and hopefully hear people from there. But we got 10 seconds left. Charlie, thank you, my brother. We love you all. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.
Hey, amen and amen.